Lord has burdened my heart here recently to begin to think this is a time of difficulty and trouble, but what an opportunity for praise. What a difference it can make in people's lives. I think that's a good thing. We're distracted by much that goes on, and I think this is an opportunity to see maybe we can set some things as they should be for all of us as Christians. So I was thinking maybe it'd be good to have a Thanksgiving Day idea today. Well, Hallmark has got Christmas in July. You guys know about Hallmark Channel? I do too. But I thought, well, before Christmas, we'll have Thanksgiving. At least we do in America. And so no turkey or pumpkin pie, but we can recognize a Thanksgiving Day in that sense. In fact, just looking at our American history as it's been besmirched recently, and I thought I would look at a little thing and just some of the facts about our Thanksgiving Day celebration encouraged me. Traditionally, as it started, of course, the pilgrims coming in 1620 and arriving too late to plant and just had to make it till the crops came in, and when they did, there was a great celebration. That was the first Thanksgiving. And out of the 100 or so that got off the ship, 50 celebrated the next year. That's the difficulty. And so there was no doubt heartfelt congratulation and thankfulness to God and praise. And that's how it began. But it was during the Continental Congress in the midst of the War for Independence that Congress began a time during that time of setting aside a day of prayer and fasting and thanksgiving. That's the way they called it. And there was an understanding this was all the blessings of God, and we had to have Him for anything that would suffice and make this country work. And so that was the beginning. And others may have other ideas they're trying to promote, but in actuality, that's been the thought here publicly. And I'm sure privately for most people and folks, this is an understanding. It is God who's going to make the difference in what we do. In fact, during the Civil War, it was Abraham Lincoln who set aside the last Thursday of November for that time of prayer and praise and thanksgiving, even in the midst of the war. So the idea of just only when good things and blessings come, that's not been the American thought for that. It was later put as a federal holiday by U.S. Grant, and Franklin Roosevelt made it, as we have it today, the fourth Thursday. I mentioned a lot of presidents' names whose monuments you may have heard of recently coming down, but I'm just trying to set something straight for all of us to think about. This is a good thing for our presidents to rightly proclaim this idea of giving thanks to God. And since the last century, it actually has made it where the day of prayer and thanksgiving have been separated, but still officially proclaimed by our president and by our government. So we're thankful for that. But they didn't come up with it. It was God Himself who gave us these ideas of thanksgiving. For He is the one that's commanded this. Turn with me in your Bible as we begin this morning, just very briefly. I want us to see in chapter 3 of Colossians, a passage that just begins this thought, that every day should be thanksgiving for the Christian. Every day should be thanksgiving for the Christian. In Colossians chapter 3, we see what Paul has said to us. And let the peace, in verse 15, excuse me, in verse 15, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. I think in just that brief passage, we get an understanding. God wants us as His children to be thankful. Give Him praise, giving thanks to Him. As we see throughout Scripture, it is commanded. Not that God needs the attention, though He deserves it, but thankfulness does something to us. As we begin to give thanks, we begin to see ourselves and we begin to see God and who He really is. Now, it is commanded in the Scriptures, and commands are to be obeyed. You are to surrender to it. You are to submit to it. You are to do it. And that is for all of us. I think of that, even if you don't feel like it, you're to do it. And you do that type of thing quite often. It's called paying taxes. Though they were delayed, they still are due, and so you give your taxes. It's the right thing to do, and you want to stay out of jail. So you'll do that, but it is still the right thing to do. And so it is with God. It's right to do it. And sometimes it is a sacrifice to praise God. Hebrews 13:15, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of the lips, giving praise to His name. That's called a sacrifice. Just do it anyway. You feel like it or not, whether it costs you something or not, just praise God. Give Him glory for what He has done. Now, there is a limit a little bit to this business of just being submissive to it. You and I understand that. We hear thank you a lot. And if you are polite and civil and you grew up in the South, you say thank you a lot. It's just something you do. In fact, those are the first few words you were taught. After you learned all by yourself to say no, you were taught to say please and thank you. You know that. And so it is a command, and we've learned that and been indoctrinated with it. That's what our mother told us to do. But really, there needs to be a real recognition of God, and there needs to come from our hearts then, after the obedience, a joy and a recognition of what we've done is right. We know that in the work world, you get up and go to work and get out of bed, a nice comfortable bed, and you go to work. Why? There's a paycheck day coming, and you would like to have one. You have to have one. And so there is something you will do, setting aside other things. Sacrifice and just doing what is right has rewards also. And that's what I want us to think about today. This is an idea of the emotions of thankfulness and being happy and just jumping up and down and shouting with praise. We're commanded to do it. But also there needs to be, I think, as the Scriptures tell us, that word of God that dwells in us richly, that teaches and admonishes us to give thanks. There's a reason that we should be thankful. And the joy will come. I think of the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, as Scriptures tell us, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, but there was joy to come. So let's look at that. What rewards there will be. And I think there are three thoughts here today that can help us as we look to biblical reasons for giving God thanks and the joy that we should expect from that activity. What are the things that Thanksgiving will do for us? Number one, We can recognize who God really is when we thank Him. Recognize who God really is when we thank Him. Three things came to my mind. Number one is the idea of His being our Creator. Our Creator. In Psalm 139, David gives a great picture of his creation, but it represents all of us. For you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The idea of all. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth, in his mother's womb. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and your book were written, every one of them. Everything, his color of his hair, his eyes, his everything about him. It was all in God's book, in his mind. The days that were formed for me, when yet as there were none of them, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God, how vast is the sum of them. He said, you've thought of me, you planned me, you prepared me, you placed me in a time of history into a family. He was in the line there of the Lord Jesus. All of these things came about, not because David decided, not because he said, I'm going to do something and make up something. He said, it was all God who created him. Now that is the picture that we are in. In fact, as Christians, we have for our own testimony, Ephesians 2:10, for we are your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God has that same aspect for my life and for yours. Now sin is marred, but God still is to be thanked for giving us life, for even his creation that sustains our life on this earth. In fact, if you understand Romans 1, I think the pivotal point, God has demonstrated who he is, revealed it to every human being. No one is without excuse. There is a God you're accountable to. What are you going to do with that? He said, neither were they thankful. Then their foolish hearts were darkened. I think everyone has a responsibility. And I say that because when our nation asks us all to be in prayer and to all be thankful, that includes all of us sinners, including the redeemed and those who have not trusted Christ. It is a responsibility of all men to be thankful to their Creator for what He has done and what He is doing. And certainly that is a point of bitterness with many. They don't like who they are, what family they're born into, the color of their skin, or whatever it is, and people get angry at God for their disadvantage they feel. We need to just say, by faith, I trust you. You are good as a Creator. I think when we recognize who God really is, when we thank Him, because we see Him as our sovereign, and as a sovereign, there is something that He can do that no one else can. David's testimony in 1 Chronicles 16 was, O give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. Sing to Him and sing praise to Him. Tell of all His wondrous works, His awe-inspiring works. Just tell it. Tell people. God is doing this. Now, the word sovereign means all power, all control, so that all things are working out His will for His praise. And this is the thought that we need to say in all things. Now, you and I may question that at times, but we better get back to that testimony. I think of Job. As Job began to ask God for reasons, God gave him really a testimony of his great creation. And then Job was the one who understood that sovereignty and said in Job 42:2, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. The psalmist said in Psalm 16, 76:10, even the wrath of men will praise you. That's a sovereign God. He can take all of this and work it into His plan. He did so with the death of His Son to the benefit of all mankind that would trust in Christ. He will do it for us. He is a sovereign God. Trust Him. We recognize who God really is when we thank Him for being our Savior. Ephesians tells us this is the testimony that we are to have. In chapter 2, he speaks of this and tells us that it is the work that He is doing. And you who were dead in trespasses and sins, in whom which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now is at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of the flesh, carried out the desires of the body and of the mind, were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Wow, what a thought of testimony that we can give. The wondrous works of God we are to proclaim. And my life has been, He saved me. He lifted me up as a sinner, put me into Christ. And now, through Christ, I have all eternity to worship and to reign with Christ. But what a blessing. So this is something we have to understand, that God has given us a reality. And when we recognize and see who God really is, our response should be thankfulness. Now, there is an understanding that we should have about our need of thanking Him. And so we come to another thought of just saying, all right, what does Thanksgiving do for me? It helps me recognize who God is. But it also helps me to rightly respond to God in every time of life. Rightly respond to God in every time of life. Now, I can give thanks for blessings. That's a time of life. And really, you and I need to stop and think about it. You woke up this morning. That was a blessing that some people didn't have. You have the health and strength to get here. That's a blessing. On and on I could go, but you get the idea of blessings. The psalmist tells us, for all His benefits, we are to bless Him and praise Him. Material things, our health, our mind, thanking Him for what He has done for us, but thanking Him for all our needs that He has promised to give, and those mighty works of salvation and sanctification, the Word of God to instruct us, the Spirit of God to illuminate our hearts and apply it to us. And then God's answers to prayer, 1 Thessalonians 1:2. We give thanks to God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers, Colossians 4:2. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. There is to be prayer, but thanking God. So I think the two go together. Thanking God helps us recognize He alone is the Creator, the Sovereign, and the Savior. So we can honestly and truly say, as Jesus told us to do, we're to pray like this: Thy will be done. And that's an answer to the blessings. If we will see the blessings, it affects all of our lives, and especially our prayers. If we are to rightly respond to God in every time of life, we will thank Him even for the difficulties. The difficulties. Now that sounds a little stretched. It sounds a little foreign or even contrived. We just will do that. But as I said before, begin with just doing that. But God will begin to move your heart. And in fact, you will find yourself in great company. We increase our faith as we, through our help with the Spirit, through the Word of God, the encouragement of other believers, but we can give Him thanks in everything. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances. Now, that's a hard task to say and to follow. But then the verse ends this way, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is a sovereign Creator who made you to know how much you could take, and in His sovereignty has now planned this difficulty, and now this difficulty is yours. Here it is. Now thank Him for it. In everything, give thanks. I have told the story before, but one day many years ago, great challenges were coming into my life, the duties I had in ministry, and there was just that. We had a Christian school, and there was great difficulties going on, and so I sat in my office, and the mail came and was put on my desk. There was a letter from someone in Africa who wanted to transfer or something to our school. We were just a high school. They were looking for another school and had the similar name. But that frustrated me. I said to the Lord, I looked at that, this is the last straw. This is all I need, is to have to write a letter to somebody in Africa and try to communicate. That was before the internet, of course. You know, that was snail mail. But this is the idea. I said, this is just too much. And the Lord rebuked me. He said, look at that postage stamp and the stamp mark. 2 weeks before, someone in Africa had written this letter, put a stamp on it, put it in the mail, and got it to me for that morning. And that's what God got me to see. David, I planned all this. This is what I've done. Weeks ago, I got this in the mail. So you would have it this morning, and this would be the test. What are you going to do with it? You know, I had to humble myself and get on my knees and say, Lord, I'm sorry. You are one to be thanked and to be praised, even in difficulties. Like I said, you're not going to be in bad company when you do that. You see that all throughout the Scriptures. You see the example of that with Joseph. Years, even in slavery, that's a terrible thing. But you know what his attitude was? You meant it for evil. God meant it for good. See that with people like Job. Great privileges taken away by God very clearly in an awesome way. It was very clear that God had done this. His response, God gives, God takes away. Blessed, praise, thanksgiving be to God for what He has done. David, that's the Psalms. I will praise Him. He would write in a song. As he sat in a cave being hunted for his life. Difficulties, but still praise. Daniel, I like chapter 6. If you pray, you're going to be executed. And it won't be a lethal injection. It'll be a lethal dinner. You'll be the last dinner. You'll be the last one. Yeah. And you're thrown to the lions. So what did he do? The Bible says, as always, he went to his room. Opened the windows, he prayed and thanked God. It's right there. He prayed and thanked God. Now you're in great company. Even the Lord Jesus Christ, always impressed with John's account of the last night. For again and again we see our Savior, knowing that within hours he would go to the cross. What was he doing? He was thanking God. He even thanked God for those elements of the supper. That here is my broken body. But what did he do? He gave thanks for that. Here is the cup. What did he do? He gave thanks for that cup. It's my blood. There is a thankfulness in difficulties. This just permeates all throughout Scripture, all throughout Christians' lives. That should be what we are. We rightly respond to God in every time of our lives, even those times of difficulty. I don't know about you, but just 6 months ago, Christian persecution was somewhere else in the world. Muslim country, communist country. But I can visualize, not that I want it to happen, but that these facilities might be destroyed, burned down one day. You and I might lose our job or our home, even our freedom for just taking a stand for what God says for us to do. I can see that now. And so do many of us. So I want to challenge you. Is God still on the throne? Is he still sovereign? Is he still one that is able to take even the wrath of men? To praise him, we better say, thank you, Lord. That's the God that we serve. We need thanksgiving because it helps us recognize who God is. Who helps us. It helps us to respond to God in everyday life. And also, thirdly and lastly, we anticipate our final day of victory when we give thanks. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul is talking about death of the body. But then he says, but that's not the end. For the trumpet will sound, verse 52 says, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. And then he says in verse 57, but thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. We'll do that now. If you read the book of Revelation, you'll see that's going on in heaven and will go on when we get there. Thanks to God. Praise to God. But for the Christian, we can start it now. And that's what Paul says. Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory right now. You know, praise him is a great thought now. But maybe we better just stop and think. Can I praise him as if I were in heaven and all the problems have gone away? The victory is ours. Everything is as it should be. Just, holy, right. Right now we can do that. In heaven, we know who's going to win. But right now, we have the opportunity to demonstrate the mighty works of God, who he is, his creator and sovereign and savior. We can tell the world of that. We can live before the world with that attitude and actions. With thanksgiving, you and I need to be able to say, God is to be praised, and do that every day of our lives. Brian, I want you to come and help us with a song that will maybe cement some of those thoughts in our hearts and minds as we come to you.